ever says I need a new attitude. Him and my sister ain't always in a feud. When I leave the seat up, he don't think that it's rude. I want you to love me like my dog does, baby. When I come home, want you to just go crazy. He never looks at me like he might hate me. I want you to love me like my dog. He never acts like he don't care for my friends. He never asks me where.
I love this song. How true. Why can't people love us like our dog does? Max Bitterman, dog relator. Great to see you.
Great to see you, too. I thought you were going to ask me to answer that question.
Well, I am kind of asking
I'll tell
you.
Billy Currington I have no idea, but it would be pretty cool maybe if we had a holiday where it was Love Like Dog Day.
Yes.
And everyone had to be as caring and intimate, honest and clear and supportive and loving towards others as their dog is.
Oh, yes.
Wouldn't that be great?
It would be totally great.
And then we could make it 2 days the next year, then three, and eventually 365
I love
days.
It. But no sniffing of each other in a
don't need to do all the same behaviors.
No, but can we hang our windows up, our head out the window?
Yes.
Because that just seems joyful.
We have a husky that drives by the Dog Wellness Club. I hope he's listening in some sort of sedan from the mid-90s.
Okay.
And they drive by every time about 15, 20 miles an hour. And this husky has his head out the window and his arm around wrapped around the door.
Oh.
You know, like a macho guy. And he just has this big smile on his face and...
Cute.
I think he loves life more than anybody I
know. Exactly.
I just want him to stop and hang with our dogs because he seems like a cool dog.
You brought your happy dog here. Tell us about your dog's personality.
My dog's personality. She won't go near the recording studio because on the opposite side of the building is the office where she's getting treats.
Okay.
So she finds the food dispensers and she hangs with those people.
She seems happy though. How do you have such a happy dog? Or did she come to you happy?
She did. She was hyperactive and a little out of control when we got her, but she was a happy and enthusiastic puppy. What I've come to believe and think, and she validates this with her experience, is the better I understand dog parenting and puppy phases, and the more I'm intimate, honest, and clear with her about what is and isn't okay in the world we live in, and the more respectful I am as I teach it, the more self-esteem she has, the more... her behavior choices are naturally going to be positively reinforced by society because she feels right, thinks right, and acts right per what we expect of each other. And she's definitely validated that because she's better behaved than most people I know. She's a little Cavachon. She's about 15 pounds, and she's Merle.
She is a darling dog, and she has a great personality. What? So sweet. So we were talking last segment about anxiety in dogs. I don't know that everybody recognizes what anxiety looks like in a dog, because I think people think of, maybe they think of a dog that's going to bite. That's an anxious dog, but it manifests itself in many ways, doesn't it?
Yeah, one of the most common things I'll see is social anxiety typically looks very stoic and calm. The eyes are a little dilated and intense and usually looking away from others. Oftentimes they're drooling at the mouth and you see kind of a steady drool. Sometimes their ears get pinned back or their tail curls under. Being addressed, being walked towards, being touched, tends to create a strong flinch. They tend to have a fight or flight closer to the surface, which is similar to us in that way. But definitely the drooling and kind of being distant and having glazed eyes is a really common thing to see.
And so for dogs that are showing that kind of anxiety, if you don't know why they're doing that, how do you solve it?
Well, for example, a dog who does that in a social situation with other dogs, what they're saying is the same thing that people with social anxiety are saying. What's happening here typically does not go well for me. What's expected of me and what I feel off of others is not my habit and not normal for me. I am not intimately familiar with what it's going to take and how I should be to make this go really well. So dogs as bad people is deep in people's heads, even if they're dog lovers, where you go to the dog park and every dog is unpredictable, every dog's a monster, and every dog's trying to eat the other dogs. And with that energy state and thinking, we kind of create that. But if you realize that dogs are socially brilliant and they think like good people, instead of a war zone, a dog park could be kind of parent-teacher conferences. And so I know that if my dog goes into a place full of dogs and ignores them and is distant and tense and uncomfortable, I would say, when I go home, I want to understand what dogs expect of each other and how they relate. And I would like to practice some of those things so there's no friction between what we do at home and what's expected of you with your peers here at school or at the dog park or at the daycare. So it would be a similar approach I would use to help a person.
And so meaning you take your dog into other situations where there's other dogs?
Maybe if those dogs are by nature ones who are trying to help others feel good and don't care if they're right or wrong. But more importantly, I would look at the basic tenets of dog society, which is using patience, respect, and communication for permission, stopping on command and relaxing, kind of pulling over, if you will. And I would look between me and my dog, am I a strict mother that enforces the things that other dogs see as trustworthy and safe and enjoyable to be around? And if I'm not, can I start enforcing those things so that they show up here, and how they've been relating with the person they love and trust the most and spend the most time with is frictionless to what's expected of them and by their peers, which is actually frictionless to what humans also expect of humans. So dogs raise their children on much more similar principles to how we raise ours than we realize. And so when we take their kids from them and don't do what their parents would have done or what our parents did for us, that's where the dysfunction is coming from. And that's where the broken lens we have looks at them and it's like, why are they so confused? Or why are they so bad? Or why are they so hyperactive? It's because we weren't realizing how much like us they are and really tapping into our parenting skills. Nobody should go to a puppy training class. They should be going to a puppy raising class. And we're trying to make that term exist, just like dog relator instead of dog trainer. The more we realize responsive relating and communicating is how you build a rapport with a dog and not teaching them six superficial postures, that is not a raising strategy. So what I come to find is I can use dog society as parent-teacher conferences because they're telling the truth and they're trying to do the right thing. And so And they're good at doing the right thing. They're socially brilliant. I can use these experiences for me to go home and help fill the nurture gap and support my dog where they struggle.
Here is an email. How do you get a dog to be the go-to person in a family situation? Our dog only seeks out my wife.
So when I read that, when I hear that question, the go-to person in what way, about what? So one of the things that's good to know is our dog knows who we are. They don't know how we've trained them. They're working around how we've trained them or how we think we're supposed to be with dogs. They know things about us that we don't know about us. So if there's certain types of situations, like when it's cuddle affection time, who they go to is telling you something.
What is it telling us?
Who they feel more of an intimate friend connection with.
So how do you get everybody in the family to have that feeling?
So I would say do a lot of dog listening. A lot of people want to train and teach dogs or dog whisper. But if you listen to your dog, they'll tell you what does and doesn't work for them. Subtle things like when I go to reach to put a leash on, if their head dips quick or they shudder a bit, stopping and showing that you listen and you understand. Dogs get a lot more happy-go-lucky, a lot more silly, a lot more fun. They're a lot more personality, less stress and controlling when they realize that they're understood and supported. So I would say that if it's in situations that matter, you know, if your dog doesn't see you as someone who can, who understands what, how to keep everyone safe, happy, and healthy, they're not going to seek you out. So dogs have different spheres, and you kind of want to start to think about, what is my dog's sphere of thinking? What is their perspective? There's alarmists and decision makers that are protection oriented, but the socially driven dogs, some are performers.
What does that mean?
Performer. Like the performer would be like a dog who's by design, like if the family business is hunting, like it is for all, you know, wild dogs, they are the best hunter. They're the one who is the best athlete. They're the one who does the dock jumping and the hunting.
I see.
They're a stereotypical lab or retriever.
Sure.
Wants to play fetch, fearless, friendly, confident, brave. They're a soldier and a hunter. And they love affection. They love doing right by their family. They're the hero dog. The performer, the counselor, like Ohana, who her perspective is, I don't care if you're right or wrong, I just want you to feel good. So people that train with a lot of intensity or a lot of aggression or dominance, who are not happy with their dog and they're very angry when their dog needs to change behaviors, you're destroying your dog's purpose and eviscerating their self-esteem if they're a counselor, because their job is to make sure everyone in the family feels good. And if everyone's chronically depressed, anxious, upset, angry, and especially mad at them, you're just destroying their self-esteem, where another dog you could have had before is protection, direction, decision maker, durably calm, relaxed, and at ease, knows that you're dysfunctional, doesn't care, loves you anyway, and is not emotionally affected.
Okay.
Right? And so you can realize, oh, I've had 6 labs. Why is this lab food aggressive? You didn't have 6 labs. You had 7 different dogs. Right? They may have had breed traits, superficial traits, natural affinities like swimming or retrieving, but their natural social role is not in the breed. It's not even, it's deeper than species. We have it, they have it, elephants have it, buffaloes got it, we all do. So if I know those spheres, the social spheres of the performer, the hunter, the soldier, the hero, the counselor, the enforcer, the one who enforces right over wrong, if I know what their perspective is and what they value the most, I can bond with them and relate to them on that level.
And do all of those types of dogs make good family dogs?
All of them.
Okay.
But the one who struggles the most with our story and our misconception of what dogs are tend to be the counselor dogs, and just like the counselor people, you're too sensitive, and the alarmists. You're a tattletale. You're a spaz. Why don't you do this? Why don't you like this? Why are you always worried? The humans and dogs seem to be kind of paralleled. It's the alarmists and the counselors that struggle the most.
You would think a counselor would be a good family dog.
But if we're not using healthy social etiquette in puppy class, the dog knows that we're being rude and wrong and pushy and bossy about something that isn't appropriate and isn't right. They're very offended by that social ineptitude and disrespect that is dog training. Also, if you're going to raise them on like a strategy where you don't teach them right from wrong, they're going to be wrong a lot. And then people get mad. They respond really poorly to when people feel bad because it crushes them. And they get more hyperactive and more slinky and more agitated and more reactive. Their sensitivity, being more emotionally durable, if nurture isn't that great, is definitely a plus, right? If nurture is great, whatever you are will be supported. So I think the dogs who punish us for what we don't know the most tend to be the counselor dogs and
the alarmists.
But at the same time, I can go to Pets Under Police Security right now in Minneapolis, and half of the bite quarantine dogs that are going to get euthanized are back of the pack dogs that are so stressed and out of control and dangerous at this moment. Most of them could do better very easily with the right support, but are dangerous. Half of them are enforcers or leader dogs that would never, ever, ever injure anybody, but they snapped and said no in a strong way, maybe touched their teeth against somebody, barely broke skin, if at all, over something very serious and inappropriate. We're killing our porters and we're killing our police chiefs.
In the dog world.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of people look into adopting dogs. It's a wonderful thing to do. How do you go about deciding what is a good dog for your family?
That's a great question. If you're adopting an adult dog, do not listen to stories that people tell about the dog.
Okay.
Just kind of find a way to get the talking about it to go away and start being yourself with the dog.
How long do you need to spend in the company of that dog to really get a feel for how the two of you are going to interact?
For me, it's just a couple minutes. But for someone who wouldn't know what to do if, like, oh, this dog doesn't understand this. Because one thing that can happen, oh my God, they were so sweet to the kids, so sweet to me. They were really gentle and friendly with treats. All of a sudden you go home and everything's perfect for 3 days. All of a sudden someone goes towards their toy, they growl. Everyone's deathly afraid, they're trying to murder everybody. You call a dog trainer who's like, yes, this dog wants to hurt you and is dangerous. Now everyone's panicking all the time and the dog becomes
a different dog.
Mentally unstable, like you would be trapped in a cell with 4 other species animals that think you're a monster. You would go crazy too. So for a regular person, you want to see them in a more dynamic way. I think it takes a couple weeks to know if how they are and how they do things is conducive to being a part of your family.
And what do you look for?
For me personally,
yes,
I like to see that their association with everything in the world around them that should be positive is positive, where when they look at you, the ear muscles are gently down, the eyes get soft and smiley, the jaw releases, they feel relaxed and content. They see a new dog walk up, calm, relaxed, and at ease, right? Where they don't seem to be agitated or stressed out by the ebb and flow of life that they need to get comfortable with.
And I know you do work with a lot of dogs that have been shelter dogs. There is a learning curve for people and the dogs, right?
Absolutely. And that's why the biggest gap we have isn't in rescue and it's not in people's homes. The biggest gap we have is in understanding of dogs. By percentage, very few professional dog trainers have a better understanding of dogs than a casual person who likes dogs. A lot of their study is on getting compliance about asking them to do stuff, which is not related to their social skills. And so what happens is someone rescues a dog. If a training organization provides the support or a rescue organization provides training, if the trainer doesn't understand what dogs go through and how to respond in a supportive way, then there's an impasse there. And so I think the biggest facilitator right now and kind of a bottleneck in saving and helping dogs is in understanding dogs.
Explain what your business is and then some of the different dynamics that you've seen when a new dog comes in.
Oh, yeah.
So, because I think it's dog friendships are fun to me.
It's amazing. Dog Wellness Club, if you go on Instagram, that's the handle at Dog Wellness Club. We're constantly posting. The place is designed, it's a daycare and boarding facility as a product and service for people, but it is a place where we honor and support dog society, puppy phases, dog parenting. And the people there aren't controlling or just allowing dogs to do things. They're actually learning and understanding dog society and trying to participate in a meaningful way. So what it creates is a very balanced, very happy, comfortable group of dogs who are able to be themselves in a way that they can't at the dog park or in their house or wherever they go, where they truly can actually be who they are. And that's our mission. Our goal is to make it more of a campus than a kennel where they can learn and grow and develop skills and really just get comfortable. And so when new dogs come in, we're able to identify before they go in how it's going to go, who can help the most and in what way. And we actually guide their experience and create almost a curriculum of, oh, you're going to have Ziggy the Doodle as your first teacher for your first class. This is going to be stop and listen. Then we're going to bring in Ohana. She's going to say, no matter what, as long as you're friendly, you'll be safe and supported. Right? Then the next dog comes in and it's like, this one isn't going to address you at all, but won't look at you or listen to you or play with you, which you really want to because Coda's the funnest dog here, most fun. But when you calm down, relax, and are polite, he's going to indulge you in play. So you're going to learn permission. Now you're doing well. Why don't you go in with these dogs with the group? And so the whole thing is oriented around our staff are our dogs, our customers are our dogs, and their advocate and their financier, I guess, is their person. So it's truly dog-centric in every way, and our people, clients, really appreciate that.
And you really do see this dynamic.
100%. And I could never introduce the dogs. Freddie the Pitbull was the last puppy who came in and just went from socially really unhealthy and unsafe range, struggling and really uncomfortable, really unhappy, to the happiest, best dog on the planet. I can't interview Freddie and be like, so, you know, did you listen to the radio interview? What'd you think? How'd I do? Am I right? Am I onto something? But if things reproduce themselves as true over and over and over again, you have no choice but to believe the sun will rise tomorrow at 7:22 because the math has been right for thousands and thousands of days. So I don't know if I know what I'm talking about because I can't interview the dogs and like get a score, but
seems to be working.
Yeah, it seems to be working. And I learn as I go because sometimes the dogs tell me I'm wrong and I have to think and listen and adjust.
Oh my gosh. I love chatting with you and I love your insights into our friends, the dogs. We want to thank our guest today, Max Bitterman, and he can be reached at...
Check out dogwellness.club if you're interested in our daycare and boarding facility or for training, ydbf.org.
Max Bitterman, and we are so grateful that you came in to chat it up with us. And you are listening to another edition of Community In Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.